You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
As many of you know, I use Fit to Hunt to prepare for my elk trip. Being fit to hunt is about more than just peak physical fitness and looking good in your camo. It's about having the tools and capabilities needed to achieve your goals. Those goals that take you all over the country, exploring the wilderness and everything nature has to offer. Fit to Hunt offers DIY workouts, personal training, and even some custom workouts. What I used was the DIY workouts. Their DIY workouts range from everything from duck hunting, to turkey hunting, to backcountry hunting, to just basic conditioning with their base conditioning program. You can get most of the DIY workouts for under 20 bucks. Go to stayfittohunt.com or follow the link in our bios to learn more.
Alrighty guys, welcome back to the Just One Outdoors podcast. Today we have friend of the podcast. We've got Jeremy from Fit to Hunt. Jeremy, welcome back. It's been a while.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're super happy to have you back on. You know, it's something that I think that our listeners might take for granted, but we have relationships and friendships with a lot of people on the podcast. And so we have these continuing stories and conversations and stuff after the first time we have people on. And I don't think a lot of our listeners kind of get to see the behind the scenes, but we definitely consider you a friend of the podcast. I know you and Austin talk quite a bit, but for those of our guests that don't know you, could you just go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. So my name is Jeremy Kerber and I'm one of the founders of Fit to Hunt. So what we do, this thing really started out as being, you know, hey, we want to develop a community. We want to develop these fitness programs. And we've done that, right? So we've done that and then some by offering kind of a wide array of services for hunters of really all aspects. You know, we don't dial in just to elk or duck or turkey, but really trying to give people the resources to enjoy the outdoors better, number one. That translates over to living a healthier lifestyle, which ultimately, well, should help you hunt longer. You know, I don't know about you, but I would love to hunt until I just fall over is kind of what I would like to be able to do. And I think on top of that, you know, what it's kind of becoming is, and again, I always say it's cliche because every company, every business wants to talk about their community. But I think that's important because what we're doing is, you know, even with our conversations, you know, where we may talk about waterfowl or, you know, with Austin going out and killing that elk, because I've never done that, you start to build those community bonds and you learn from other people. And you learn those things. Every day I go into the gym, I'm learning something, a nutrition tip, something here. And you may not like consciously think you're learning it, but when you surround yourself with good people, those good people and their vibes and their knowledge, it rubs off on you. So that's what we're trying to do, is to really empower the outdoorsman, the outdoors woman, the kids, you name it, just to start this stuff now. And then ultimately, it's going to spill over into every other aspect of their life.
Absolutely. So what do you offer to help people do that? Like, I know, for instance, like you mentioned my elk, I used a lot of the DIY stuff. So what do you guys offer that people can take advantage of? Say they aren't local to you in St. Louis, sure, and can't do personal training or things like that. So
sure. Well, let's start with what everybody wants to hear, and that's free, right? Everybody wants free. So, and that's great because I've long said, if you follow us, like on the right, when I say the right channels, you should be able to get a lot of great information just in general. So if you don't subscribe to our YouTube, subscribe. If you don't follow us on social media, follow us. We do a weekly email that goes out once a week that is just an exercise and maybe, you know, one of our partner products or something along those lines. But all it is just providing information, okay? For those that are like, hey, I think I need help, and they don't live in the St. Louis area, because we still see people one-on-one here in our Missouri location. But what I would start with might be what you did, which is our DIY program. So, you know, a lot of folks can't afford one-on-one training. So what Nick and myself and Brian and some of our other coaches have done now is we've collected and pieced together personal training programs that are hunt specific or in the case of the new year, we've got one that's called base conditioning. Because I was talking to a friend today. He's like, should I be getting elk programs? I'm like, no, you really shouldn't be buying an elk program in January. Depending what your fitness level is like, we might want to talk about base conditioning. Or if you've been training, we might look at one of our turkey programs, because that's really the next thing that's that's coming up. We've got kind of a starter turkey program, and then we have one that we call Extreme Strutter, which is tough because I built that one after coming back from Texas Hill Country, which is not hunting flat, normal, sitting up against a tree type hunting. And the neat thing about those is that, like, our cheapest one is $4.99. It's our shoulder rehab, prehab, if you want to call it that. We've got some 12-week programs that are roughly $38-$39. But, I mean, we spend more than that a lot of times at lunch or over the course of a couple of days at work. So we've developed these, and they're not one-on-one training. You know, you're not going to get the same touch points. But I always try to connect with people that buy from us. And, dude, if you got a question, let's talk about, I don't have this equipment. Well, let's look at this. Or you can go to our YouTube. Or here's some other resources that you can use, similar to what you might have done when you went out to hunt that elk. You know, you knew you were going to Colorado. You drew that bull. My guess is you may have scouted, may have not have. You probably looked at maps. You looked at local resources. It's a DIY. Okay, so there's that. The next phase of that is what we call our customized programming. And so what that is it can still be a 4 to 6 week program, but now I'm going to talk with you about where you are, what your goals are to an extent, and we're going to build a program that's customizable. So if you have dumbbells and bands in your basement, all right, we're going to build that program for you. If you have a full gym at your disposal or whatever, that's what that is. So it's more customizable to who you are. It's not just a program you're going to pull off of our menu. It's going to be something specific for Cameron. It's going to be something specific for Austin. So you got that one. Those run about, I think, right around $70, $75, something like that. Our Cadillac plan, which again, you know, when you say $149, a lot of people are like, whoo, you know, but I always like to think about, what are you getting for it? So if I do one personal training session with you, that's $75, all right? So basically for $149, we're going to piece together a four-week exercise program with our software. So all the workouts will come to your phone. All the videos are there. All the instruction is there. It's there. You could go to the gym tonight and be like, what's the standing pal-off press? Hit the video and be like, ah, got it. Boom, I'm going to go do that. And then you click it off. It's designed so that we know what you're doing. So like when you're done, you hit check, I get a notification, sweet. Austin is 4 for 4 this week. He's got them all done. And I can coach you through that, because unlike a DIY or a turnkey customized, this is a dialogue. So for the price of 2 personal training sessions a month, we put together a customized program. You've got unlimited text and email support. We do a weekly accountability call, you know, 10 minutes. We might talk a little nutrition. We might talk about duck hunting. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook group. And then the other little nuances that come with that are going to be, you know, we are going to work with you on setting really good goals. We are going to work with you on, when I say nutritional counseling, we're not putting together meal plans, but if you're struggling, it's like, okay, let's think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. Let's try to get maybe a food log together and let's analyze this, right? And see where we can make things better. So basically, when someone tells me, hey, look, I'm getting ready to drop a lot of money on this hunt, this is like, you know, once of a lifetime thing for me, I'm going to give them all the options. But if they're really dialed in and they feel like they have the discretionary funds to do it, the one-on-one coaching is really designed to make sure that not only are you doing these programs, but we can make, I've literally had people call me and be like, look, my low back is hurting today. What should I do? Hey, John, I want you to do this versus that, and I can make the switch on my phone instantaneously. So I've said before, like, we call it the trainer on retainer kind of type thing, but you basically have your coach, right, who is there for you, even though we may not be right there with you. We've got clients in Maine. We've got clients in Florida, South Carolina. We work with people in Iowa, Canada. Washington State, Texas. I mean, we've worked with people really everywhere. I've got a guy in Maryland right now that's going to be going on a spring bear hunt in a couple months. And that's the main three things that we do. And yeah, we sell apparel, right? So, I mean, we sell. I get just as geeked out when I look at, you know, I'm sure you guys do as well, when you see your logo on the back of somebody's truck or bow case, or someone's wearing a hat. And that's cool too, because that tells me that maybe we did something for somebody that gave them value enough that, honestly, I love when they buy t-shirts. I do. You know, they're walking around, people see it. I still say, I think the highest honor that I can get, even though we make no money off of it whatsoever, is a car decal. If someone feels strong enough to put our, you know, you're gonna go, like a bumper sticker, how many of those are you going to put on your car? Most people don't. So if they're going to do that, or even if it hits their cooler or their deep freeze or their bow case, it's still an honor that they would do that, because most people don't put things on their truck unless they really, really like it. You know what I mean?
Well, I can say I just got a new truck, so I'm going to have to get me one of those decals to put on, because what do I need to put on? Like, obviously, right. I want to just one decal on the truck, but I'm like, I can't just have that. So I've been thinking about it. I'm like, I could do something like Vortex or something, but I don't have a personal connection with Vortex, you know, so I'm going to have to get one.
But yeah, I'll send you.
I have to tell you, so we had family Christmas and with all my family, and both my grandparents and my mom and dad all showed up in the elk shirt.
Really?
I think it was like the sweatshirt maybe. But yeah, I was like, hey, I've seen that. And for those who don't know, when I killed the elk, Jeremy reached down and was like, hey, do you have any pictures of the pack out? And he turned that into a shirt. So I was like, if you turn it into a shirt, you have to hook me up with one. And so I meant to wear it tonight, but it is unfortunately dirty, because it pretty much comes out of the wash and goes on my body and then back into the wash. It was really cool. I was just like, you guys all got one? I was like, that's so cool. So I wanted to share that with you, and I knew we had the podcast coming up, so I was like, I'll do it then.
That's a great honor too. I mean, surely they probably knew that you were the model, if you will, on that. But so the other one we had was the fight a bear or slug a bear, which was basically me at NWTF a few years ago, standing like this up against a mount of a black bear, is what it was.
And that was a black bear?
I think it was a black bear.
A massive black bear.
It was a big bear. Anyhow, of course, I'm not that tall, so yeah. But I was walking through the grocery store the other day, and my son had that hoodie on, and some guy stopped him in the aisle to compliment that, and I was like, that is cool, you know? I mean, he probably didn't see the Fit to Hunt logo or the Beast Mode Archery logo on the back. That's fine, but I was like, that means something when you create, and I'm sure you feel the same way with your show and what you do. When you create something and people compliment it, money is great, but that gives me such a sense of satisfaction when someone likes what we do.
Well, that was like when we started out, it was like connecting with guys like you, connecting with the guys who are now on our team. That was huge. It was like part of why we connected with you guys is because you guys supported us. And we also were like, we saw value in like what you were doing. And it's like, you know, why don't we just, you know, we'll share your stuff. You share our stuff and, you know, support each other. And like you were talking about earlier, that community. And it's been one of the coolest things and one of the biggest blessings of just having the podcast. Like if the podcast were to go just flat tomorrow, I would still be like, I am so glad that we just took a chance and did this, because we've got to meet guys like you who would we ever meet? I mean, we may run into each other on public land and say, hey, how'd you do? But I mean, other than that, do we meet? Maybe not. Maybe it's just, it's been so cool. And I'm sure you've experienced that. I mean, you have people, customers all over the country who are trusting you, as I did, to come alongside them and help them reach their goals. And I mean, I have to say, like, the elk hunt, we put in well over 100 miles on our boots. And, you know, that last day we were gassed, but we also, we could keep going. Like we were leaving because it was like, all right, this is the time we had, but we could have kept going. It wasn't that we couldn't. And part of that was, you know, working with you, going through, like you were talking about, the strutter program, I'm not sure if I went through the extreme strutter. Can't remember.
I don't think that was out. You get a chance, you should give it a run this year, because like I said, with strutter, you're moving through, and it's not necessarily what I'd call a basic program, but it's not designed to get you ready for, say, mountainous type hunting. You know, it's designed to work what we call movement patterns. So a deadlift is a movement pattern. A lat pull down is a movement pattern. The stuff that we have to do in turkey hunting, whether it's mobility, flexibility, belly crawling, that's where those elements came through. So the design of the program isn't to get you buff. The design of the program is when you hit the field, you're good. Mm-hmm. So when we went to Texas, so year before we went to Texas, and mind you, we're hunting two different ranches. This one, the first one was flat earth a pancake. I mean, it literally was easier than hunting Missouri by leaps and bounds. When we got to the ranch the next year, we were a little further. I forget what direction we were, but we were now moving into the hill country. And you know, you look at Ozark Mountains, I would say these were bigger. And so what I noticed, like, you're going through and up roads, hills, whatnot, and you've got loose gravel. I'm like, well, this is new. This is different. You would hike up and you would get to these plateaus, and then there'd be another way, you know? So I'm like, this is different. And so it's like, we need a program that's going to mimic a lot of these patterns, but also get the guys and the girls that are going to go after Miriams or Rios in some really different territory. They need that as well. So, yeah, I mean, it is one of the, I would say it would rank right up there with some of our elk programs in terms of how difficult it is.
Wow.
And it's funny because I'm working on one now we have one we call the Drake for waterfowl hunters. I'm working on one that I call Extreme Drake. So, you know, we've got kind of a beginner and then a more advanced, because when you're hunting public land duck hunting, you may have to park at the gate and drag a boat full of decoys, you know, like a jet sled, which is not necessarily heavy, but now you've got, maybe you got three dozen decoys, maybe you got a dog blind, you got your gun bag, you got your gun, you've got whatever. And you may drag that a quarter to a half mile, and then you got to set up, and then you got to get out. And by the time you're done, your legs are on fire. You've waded through some pretty, you know, iffy terrain just getting into a duck hole. And so what I've been, and I always like to test these things out, what I've been playing with is that the workouts that I've been doing for the last few months, I've been experimenting with sled pushes, sled pulls, things of that nature, and how we could tie that in. And I've done a lot of dragging this year. And yeah, you're, like you said, you're going to get your heart rate up and you're going to breathe, but at no point this year was I like, I'm gassed. I've got to stop. I can't drag these decoys any further, you know? And the big key is when I have clients that are coming back and saying to me, older clients, like 57 years old, older clients, saying, I left my buddies 100 yards in the duck marsh behind me, and I had the decoys on my back with my gun and this, and I look back and they're back there sucking wind, and all they're doing, they're just getting out. They're not even carrying anything. They're just getting out of the marsh. And I'm like, we're on to something here, because duck hunting in itself isn't necessarily a young man's game. But if you're going to hunt public land, you better be ready, because it's challenging.
We've all heard the saying, a picture tells 1,000 words. And the same can be said for deer mounts. A skull on the wall represents so much more than just a successful hunt. It represents the culmination of lots of work, some luck, and rich memories with friends and family. At Just One, we like to hang our skulls with skull hangers from Kibosh Outdoors. The hangers are secure, super easy to set up, and made in the U.S. They even have hangers for as little as $9 to get your skull sitting proudly at the perfect angle. Go check them out at KiboshOutdoors.com or follow the link in our bios and use code JUSTONE at checkout to save 10% on your order.
And we were going to hunt this weekend, and I think it's supposed to be 23 degrees on Sunday and 12 on Monday. We got off for MLK. And I just told my youngest son, I said, not only will everything be frozen, I said, it's south. I mean, they're bypassing us at this particular point. So, it's the thought processes that we go in there, understand that a program may have some form of a chest press in it. Every program might have some form of a chest press in it, but we wrote about this on a blog recently. It's like putting together a song. Guitar chords sound cool, but if you don't arrange them in the right way, it's not going to sound very pleasing to the ear. It's just going to sound like a bunch of chords being strung. These workouts are the same thing, right? So, I mean, you're going to have to pull, you're going to have to push, you're going to have to do. And so programs are like, well, how is this hunt specific? Well, it really depends on what we're seeing and feeling. Going back to the sled pushes and pulls, we need to do more of that in our elk training programs, because the descent and the ascent going up and down, when you're doing the sled pushes and pulls, it puts your body in a specific way. I'm sure when you were coming down, you could feel those hamstrings on fire, and probably your knees felt like that. Not necessarily unstable, but after a certain point, you probably felt like every step was a challenge just to keep your foot or your knee from going right or left. And that's where utilizing the plyometric work, even the agility work that we plug into those things is so beneficial for the various types of hunts. So it's we're not just throwing – it's not like, hey, we're going to go in there and say, hey, give me 50 burpees and 100 push-ups and do this. That's a slam or a smash workout. We really think through the why and the how of why we're putting that exercise in that particular plan, because it needs to benefit you when you get into the field. So we talk to clients, I mean, if you came back and you're like, dude, I felt great, but I felt this, that would say, maybe we need to add this particular thing back into the program. So, I don't look at DIYs as ever finished. You know, there's probably going to be a volume two or a, whatever you want to call it, next generation of different programming, because it should get better the more dialed in we get to the our clients. Yeah.
What is your favorite part of your job? I know that's a loaded question, but is it making the workouts? Is it sort of interacting with clients? I mean, what would you say is your favorite?
My favorite part is that aha moment when they get it. And when I say they get it, that can mean a bunch of different things. So like my guy, Bill, who I'm training for the bear hunt, he's a former collegiate athlete, and he only knows one speed, and that's 150 miles an hour. And so when we first started training him, he was actually shocked that I was actually not pulling him back, but I was taking volume away, because he really fit, already has two artificial knees, had terrible mobility, couldn't do certain things, but he was wanting to do these, like, just these high volume type, very intense workouts. And when we got into the topics of mobility, flexibility, core strength, recovery, every workout that we do that's remote training, they can like make notes in their workouts. All right. So I'll go through and I'll read this, and he'll be like, hey, I didn't understand this, or, oh my gosh, I love this exercise, or this is great. When we have our conversations, you'll hear things like, I didn't believe you. I thought you were full of it. But now I feel this, or I'm doing that. He used to go out on a 10-mile ruck every Sunday, and now we've got him listening to his body. So if his body is saying, today's not the day, that doesn't mean he might not go for a ruck, but maybe he goes for a 4-mile ruck with a 30-pound pack versus a 65-pound pack. I mean, he's learning how to manage things, because he felt like, we're just going to keep going and keep going and keep going until I'm like this Superman that's going to run up this mountain. And finally, I got him to understand, we're training you to not be injured. We're training you to be able to perform on day one of your hunt. We're training to be able to perform the other days of your hunt, not just the first one. And then we're working to really maximize all those things right there. And again, for him, when I use the analogy of an athlete training for season versus in season versus out of season, he started to get it. And so now our conversations, kind of funny because we usually talk at like 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings because I'm an early riser and he's an early riser. So, and I'd say 75% of our conversations now are really just BSing, hunting, fishing, whatever. And like 25% or less will be about his workouts. You know, we'll talk about what's going good this week. He goes, hey, I really was having some issues with this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to switch these three moves over. Let's give, you know, or a couple months ago, he's like, my body feels like garbage. And I'm like, well, Bill, we haven't taken a break in 4 months and you're going hard 5 days a week. I said, why don't we take 3 or 4 days off and then kind of deload and then bring you back into it. And he was scared to death that he was going to lose everything. And he came back and he's like, oh my gosh, I had the best workouts that I've had in months. I'm like, I just needed a rest. And that's where coaching comes in. The other side of it though, is when it has nothing to do with the workouts. All right. Cause we're humans too. And I am not a psychologist. I'm not a shrink. I'm not some type of, I'm a coach. So when people are struggling with their relationships, when they're struggling with their job, when they're struggling with all these other things, and that's where coaching is probably more valuable than personal training, is that we'll still put the program together, but now we're going to help you navigate in and around those things. So for the people that are struggling, maybe it's marital, right? That happens. What's going on? Talk me through what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Are you doing your workouts? No, man, I'm just so stressed. I'm like, I'm going to encourage you to do those workouts because I can't promise you that you're going to like be de-stressed forever, but for a couple hours afterwards, you're going to feel less anxiety, probably going to sleep a little better. You know, you're going to get out some of that anger or frustration or whatnot, and you're going to be better. I just got the highest compliment from my 71-year-old client from New York State, who I used to train in person in St. Louis. I don't even train her anymore. We just talk. She pays me to talk with her. She just got back because her biggest thing has always been exercise adherence, right? She's retired. She won't do it. She'll mess around the whole day. So we work solely on her getting to the gym. That's it. And she just got back from a 2-week trip to Hawaii with her daughter and son and grandchildren, and she was sending me pictures and she's like, Jeremy, they couldn't believe how I kept up with them, and we were walking up the hills and we were going to lava fields and we were doing this. And she goes, I just want to thank you for that. And I'm like, well, in my mind I'm like, I didn't do that much except help coach you around your own head, you know, your own I don't want to do it. And we just repeated the phrases of discipline over and over over and really drilled into her head that if you're 71 and you still want to do cool stuff, same thing for someone that hunts and fishes. If you're getting older, you want to keep doing the fun stuff, you got to do this. You don't have to do it, but if you want to keep doing the fun stuff, you better figure out, you know, how to get around those things. And that's what I help her with. So those are the fun things. Of course, I love seeing, I got a high school wrestler. I love seeing high school wrestlers, you know, get strong to the point where when they go on the match, they just obliterate whoever's in front of them. I love that too. Don't get me wrong. But when you get someone to truly understand that this is more than a workout, and that's where I think maybe I didn't describe this as eloquently as what I would like. I don't know what this has become in Austin. Mm-hmm. And Cam, I don't know, but it's becoming more than just a workout or a program. It's evolving into something. And I haven't put my finger on exactly what it is just yet. But to your point, the relationships that we've made, the friendships, if it all ended tomorrow, we would still have some really solid friendships and relationships and could go all over the country hunting and visiting with people and probably feel like you've lived a life pretty good at that point because you've made friends in that. So it's been a pretty good blessing despite the fact that, you know, we use it as, I mean, it's my job, right? I mean, it's what I do. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, of course the workouts are sort of, there's a big how-to piece as far as like the videos or how to actually do workouts. But I really like the why that you guys have really meshed into your workouts where it's really tailored toward people getting outdoors, being active, going on hunts. I think that part of working out is really powerful, especially, I mean, it's like anything. If you don't have a why to what, right, to what you're doing, it's not going to last very long. So I think that's one thing that you guys have honestly implemented super well in your workouts. I'm curious though, for the people who are listening to this, who aren't super interested in a specific workout, maybe they're not going elk hunting, maybe they don't like chasing turkey. I know that you guys offer things for those type of people as well. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So, I mean, and I think the biggest thing from that perspective, I had a client a few years ago that we worked with, and he's like, Jeremy, I'm not going to be able to go do a lot of deer hunting this year. And I said, oh man, that stinks. Why? And he goes, well, I've got some big goals at work. He's self-employed. And I'm like, I'm hunting this. And I went, oh, I'm like, okay. So you're not hunting a deer, but you're hunting this next goal, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone were to pick up, by the way, if someone were to pick up an extreme strutter and do it, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get more fit. If they do a base conditioning, they're going to get more fit. The lady that I put a program together or that I trained this morning at the gym, I still train one-on-one here in St. Louis when I can. She's a 78-year-old grandma. Here's the thing. The way that we train people athletically. And it doesn't matter if you're a 15-year-old soccer player or a 78-year-old grandma. The principles still work. It's just going to be differences in exercise selection, intensity, and volume is what it's going to boil down to. So for someone that's not, and that does kind of hurt us sometimes from a business perspective, because someone may see us and be like, well, I'm not going to work with you because I'm not a hunter. I'm like, well, understand, but here's what I would tell you. You know, if you could do these type of programs, you know, you don't even need to call it an elk program, but you like to mow your yard. We got a guy in St. Louis who's a great example. You know, he's in his middle 70s and he loves to do yard work. You drive past his house and it's the most perfectly manicured yard that you will ever see in your life. And he was a guy that came to us that was only going to do 6 sessions with us. He was going to pay for 6 sessions and that was it. That was, I want to say, 3 years ago. And he's been doing 6 sessions a month, every month for those last 3 years. So the goal is really insignificant. And that's where, you know, when someone says that to me, well, I don't hunt, I'm like, but you're hunting something. You're hunting better health. You're hunting better relationships. You're hunting the confidence to, if you're in sales, maybe the confidence to go in there and close that big deal. You're hunting something. So, you know, if they have no interest in hunting and someone's like, what should I do? Move more. All right. So that's kind of nebulous, I know. But, you know, if you have no equipment, you have no gym membership, you have nothing like that, I would say you start by just walking, stepping, getting more steps through your day. You have planned walking that you're going to do, and then you just try to be more active. You know, I stand up at my desk, things of that nature. If they're looking for programs, I mean, again, you know, you could buy a base conditioning that's going to have your basic push, pull, leg dominant. When I say unilateral, like a step up or a split squat, so you're working both sides independently, or they could do a customized, because a customized, if you, I don't want to pay $75 an hour for a trainer. Okay, here, I'll put together a program that you can use that's going to have all the videos, all the things right there with a turnkey program. Again, it's not coaching, but it's turnkey. So here it is, Cameron, go through it. And then connect with me after you've done that workout and let's see if there's any wrinkles that we need to fine tune on there. So, I mean, it's still the only program that I think is really that next upper tier is the remote coaching, which again is more expensive. But if you feel that you have a need for accountability, that's where we go. I say, listen, if you're going to spend this kind of money, I'm going to encourage you to look at this particular service over here, because I can help everything from nutrition all the way down to I don't want to. A DIY or a turnkey for those individuals that, you know, are motivated, disciplined. I would rather say disciplined than motivated, because motivation fleets. Discipline is like tonight. I told you it's 6:26 when we wrap. I'm going to go change clothes. I'm going to go to the gym. I won't get done till 8, but I'm going to go do it because I don't want to. I'd much rather, it's cold, it's raining. I'd much rather just go put on a pair of sweats and sit here. I'm still going to go do that because that's the only way that I get better. So, you know, for those that have no really affiliation, but again, hey, do you like to hike? Do you fish? Do you like to camp? Do you work in your yard? Do you garden? The hunting aspect is only, maybe I should change the name. I don't know. Maybe you can say, I've thought about that too, but it translates, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it was funny is a lot of our wrestlers, my wrestlers don't know that some of the stuff that they do is the same thing that this 78-year-old grandma does. And the elk hunters don't know that some of the stuff that they're doing is what I'm using for my wrestlers that are going out and, you know, winning tournaments. So it's how you piece this stuff together. The goal is insignificant, you know, the hunt, or it's whatever you want. So it's kind of weird. Like I said, we've actually found a little bit of a niche too, where especially for our remote programs, we are finding that we're working with older men and women, not older, got to be careful because I'm falling in that category, but people in their early 50s, 60s, even 70s that are like, look, I still want to bow hunt. I still want to be able to climb that tree. I still want to be able to go chase that elk. And there's power in that, because you can go, listen, you could go Google HIIT workout. You can Google all kinds of stuff. Where I think we're winning friends is the fact that, you know, Nick and Annie and James and Corey, we're piecing things together that are working for people of that age range. They're finding that they're doing this, that their knees aren't destroyed, their back isn't destroyed, they're getting stronger and still doing cool stuff like deadlifts or agility ladders or things like that. So it's kind of fun. We didn't even realize that for a bit. Nick called me one day, like, you do realize that? He started naming off names, and I'm like, you're absolutely right, you know, 61, 57, 71, 78, 67. I'm like, we are now falling into a niche of older people that just want to be awesome. And I'm like, that's cool too, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was going to throw in one thing that you mentioned, like just move. And I remember one conversation that I had with a guy. His name's Jeff, and not my dad, Jeff, another Jeff. but you know, it was back when I was playing college soccer, and you know, it was in the summer playing our small sided leagues or whatever. And this guy is 65 years old playing against us 20-year-olds. And I mean, he can't run with us, just physically. He can't run as fast as us, but he can still do enough to be like a dangerous player, if you get what I'm saying. And, you know, I talked to him, and like, we were just talking, and I said, Jeff, when I'm your age, I want to be able to do what you're doing. And I was like, how old are you? He goes, I'm 65. And he was like, the secret is just don't stop moving.
Right.
Keep doing something. And the dude just gets out and plays, and like, he smokes a pack of cigarettes every day. Like,
oh my
runs
gosh.
By and you smell it, but he's still like, he just gets out, plays, and moves.
He's
and
moving.
I think that's one thing that your program's helped with, is just got me moving in the right ways.
Right.
And built, like you were talking, kind of how your programs have like the push, the pull, all that, that stuff. But also, we structured it in a way to where it wasn't like I didn't start with the elk heading into turkey season.
Right.
I started with the turkey. And that kind of flow, that was able to flow into the elk program and get me going on that. And, you know, I think it's really cool how it's all built out, and you can pick and pull. Like, it also gives like hunters the opportunity to go, well, I'm going on an elk hunt. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, as you're doing that workout, you're thinking about how it's going to help you on the elk hunt. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you're turkey hunting, you're thinking about, you know, it may be the weirdest thing you've done in the gym. And you're like, how does this help me? Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking about it and you're going, oh, you know what? I do make this movement a lot when I'm turkey hunting. And it's, that's one thing that I've liked is, you know, it can go both ways. Like it can go for the older people, like it can just help them stay active and, you know, deadlift at 65, 70 years old.
Right.
It can help, you know, that 65-year-old draw a bow back, but it can also help guys like me, 27, 28, go chase an elk and fulfill a dream that I've had since I was a little kid.
Right.
So I've really enjoyed that. I'm going to have to look at it. This is kind of a transition too into a little bit of waterfowl, but I'm going to have to look at the Drake programs now that, you know, I'm blaming you for not warning me about how addicting duck hunting is. Like I knew it was addicting and I haven't really jumped in the water here just because I've always used the excuse of, oh, there's no ducks here. There's no flyway. This year I finally dove into it and honestly, I'm loving it and it's a good, bad thing. So, really for Cam, share a little bit about your duck hunting experience and try to convince him. Your whole goal is to convince him to come duck hunt with me.
My goal. Okay. Yep. So here's the thing. So here's why I love duck hunting. Okay. First off, you know, they taste good. All right. So that's one. That's one. Secondly, if you got a good dog, which I do, right, it's the coolest thing in the world because it's about watching that dog. You want to shoot ducks because you want to watch that dog pick that duck up. That's what he was born to do, right?
Here, let me cut in here. Cam, yeah. I'll be your dog. I'll take the I'll run out there. I'll do all that until we get a hunting dog. So
you give him treats, it's great, okay? But here's the thing. So like turkey hunting, and I would say even like with elk hunting, as you're trying to call this animal. So this was always a challenge for me because if you blow a duck call the wrong way, it sounds like a kazoo, right? So to get it down, and like you said today, Austin, you got it down enough that you called that Drake in. The moment you get that thing to turn and cup and come in and light down in front of you is the moment that it changes. It changes everything. The other thing that I would tell you, so, you know, for me, it's the, and now it gets even deeper, right? So calling a mallard, you can blow a mallard hen call all day long, but now it's like you've got the whistle. So you're trying to figure out teal and widgeon and pintail, and they've all got different stuff going on with them. The biology of them. Why are they here? Why are they not here? Why are they flying today versus not? Wind direction. So like what you said earlier in our conversation about how they were coming over top of you, now you got to factor in that on windy days, they're going to land into the wind. So you've got to adjust all that. And then just the fact that I don't consider myself to be a good waterfowl hunter. I mean, knock on wood. I actually need to go back and look at this because I guess you can do that through the Missouri hunting app. I'm pretty sure I've killed a bird in Missouri, a turkey, the last 20 seasons. I don't think I've missed one. I think it was 1 year in Missouri that I missed, right? Like since I've been 20 years old and whatnot. And I consider myself a either lucky or adequate turkey hunter. We always kill from a family perspective four deer. You know, I killed a doe this year. I actually quit because Jack, Justin, and Beth, we guided them. They filled the freezer. I'm good. Duck hunting is still one of those things for me that I consider it to be a challenge. And the coolest aspect now is that my youngest son really loves it and wants to go. It's social. You can be sitting there talking like this, and all of a sudden you'll be like, ducks high, two pair coming in, you know, and you just get down and you start the process. And maybe they work, maybe they don't work. And if they don't work, you just start talking again, just like you were. You can't do that during deer hunting. You can't do that when you're turkey hunting. I mean, you're quiet, you're stealthy, you're whispering. Duck hunting I didn't start until I was 38 years old, and I really feel bad about wasting all that time not having sat into a duck blind, because it's that addicting. You don't do it, Cameron. I mean,
hey, I've done it once. I don't know if Austin told you, but yeah, he's the one that ruined it for me.
Yeah, oh, I did ruin it. So I grew up hunting with my great uncles on the Mississippi River for ducks. Like, that's okay. I remember crouching in the back of the blind, covering my ears as a little, like, 8-year-old kid and watching them all pop up and unload 15 shots on one duck. Like, I remember all of that. And then Cam joined the family, and I was like, dude, we're going out for Thanksgiving. We have to duck hunt. Like, duck hunting is the best on the Mississippi. Well, it was similar to what you were sharing earlier. I had never been on a duck hunt in Illinois with my uncles and not at least seen ducks, like, and had a good chance at them, like, seen them work a little. Like, even it's still cool to see them fly over and circle twice and keep going. It's like, oh, that was cool. Well, we go. Cam, did we go 2 or 3 days?
I think we went three.
Did we go three?
Could have been two. 3 days
straight.
I don't know.
3 days straight. Not a single duck. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was still a good time. But also, it was like, you know, I'm with my great uncles and, you know, they get talking about whatever they talk about. And Cam and I just sit there and nod our heads and just go, I can't believe that was just said. Like, okay, cool.
It was a good time. Yeah. Kind of like what you said, it was a good time. And the camaraderie aspect of it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, we're all just hanging out. They've got a skillet in the back and we're eating breakfast and on a couple freezing cold days where it's snowing and you're knee deep in mud, it feels like. I mean, eggs and bacon never tasted so good. So we had a lot of fun. It's just, past couple years, at least around here, we've hit deer hunting so hard that that's kind of been my excuse. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to give up a day in the deer woods to go chase after a few birds. But I will say my tune might be changing after this year, because after really rifle season here, I hunted quite a bit and it has been so slow. It's like, man, maybe these guys that are hanging up the bow, hanging up the rifle, they go sit in the duck blind after rifle season. Maybe they know something I don't.
You know, so I've been thinking about a lot of that lately too, because last year duck hunting was so good. And we kind of did the same thing. You know, Justin is still able to go to youth season, but last year everybody for the most part had killed except for Jack, and he killed in that late muzzleloader hunt. We just went into duck hunting, you know, the week of Thanksgiving, we duck hunted a lot. After that, you know, I was taking some days here and there and it was great. This year, on the other hand, because of the weather being so warm, it was terrible. And it just got me thinking. And again, this is like an evolution. This is like me saying to you guys, you know, as like old man here, I've got a client who, like, I used to be like deer hunting. I'm deer hunting. It's this time of year, I'm deer hunting, whatnot. He is to a point, both age-wise and financially, that he can do these things, but he will look at the weather and he'll say, today's a duck day, you know, or he'll turn around and he'll be like, nope, this is a rut day, you know. Now, that's a great freedom to have, right? And a great power to be able to have that flexibility in your schedule to do that. And what knowledge. Really got me thinking, because, well, you know, just paying attention to the weather and saying
just being able to notice that, like, that's impressive.
Right. Right. And, you know, talking to my youngest son, because he will have one more youth season next year. Okay. Mm-hmm. He'll be 15 in August. That's last year. And what we were talking about was, so in youth season for waterfowl, they break it down in zones in Missouri. We have never taken the kids. They've never wanted to go on the youth season hunt. So the youth season hunt on these conservation areas is where I can go with them, but I can't take a gun. It's just the kids. So I can sit back and I can call all day long. And I said, hey, that's the second weekend of rifle season. Do you want to do it? And he's like, heck yeah, I want to do it. because the people that are going to these conservation areas, these ducks have not been hunted. And so my friend Lewis took his son that weekend, and he said that mallards were just falling from the sky in front of them. They had shot their four mallards and were waiting for their two other ducks. I think he killed a teal and a gadwall. And he said while they were sitting there, they weren't even calling. 12 mallards were just dropping straight into it. He goes, they were 10 feet from my foot and didn't even know we were there. I'm like, we got to get a hunt like that, because that would, for a kid, Tim, if you haven't been on a good hunt, you get something like that. We had one of those last year where birds were just coming from the sky and coming right into the decoys. I was literally sitting up against a pin oak tree with the gun on my knee like I was hunting a turkey, and was just shooting mallards right off the levee, and they had no idea. You get a day like that, man, it's you'll start spending some money on waders and stuff like that, man. So yeah, it's you don't have to spend a ton of money on this. You need certain gear, but don't let anybody fool you. You can get by with a couple dozen decoys, a good pair of waders, and a gun. You can do this without having to spend a ton of money, man.
I mean, you could just call me, because I was telling my buddy today that I went with, I'm like, it's really nice that we're getting into duck hunting, and kind of a lot of the guys in our group in the Just One group are starting to kind of get in. I'm the only one with decoys.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm getting an invite every time. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, really I'm rocking. I have four goose decoys and then a dozen good, like they're old. They're my grandpa's old ones that when the brothers all changed theirs out, he grabbed his and gave them to me. But I'm rocking with probably 12 decent, mallard decoys. And then I have 12 pintail, but it's a little late for pintail. But then I have a few others that aren't quite as good, and I'm rocking those. And I mean, we had we would have had a great day today had we known a little bit more. I mean, and really what's cool about it is we're getting out there and we don't know what we're doing, but we're having a great time. And, you know, when it came together today, you know, calling in two, we called in a ton of ducks, but calling in two and killing two, it was like, this is awesome. Like, we can actually do this. It's not as hard as you make it in your head, I think. And that's one thing that
everybody talks about your limit, and getting a limit is great. Okay. But one of the guys that really taught me how to hunt, and this was cool too, by the way, I don't mean to go down tangents, but this guy that I'm hunting with now, we played baseball together when I was a little kid, and his dad was our coach. So Coach Sam taught, you know, his son how to duck hunt. He always said, if you can go out and kill two birds a hunter, that's a pretty good day. You know what I mean? I mean, so if you can go out and you kill two birds piece, it's great if everybody, if there's four guys and you kill 24 birds, that's awesome. But that doesn't happen as much as what people like to believe, especially on public ground. You go into a private club, maybe, but on public, man, it's public. It's hard. Yeah. So,
I mean, the ducks know, like, where we were hunting was really close to a restricted zone, like we'll call it a private zone. And the ducks knew, like they were there, but they just didn't fly over us. when we were there one day, now today they flew over quite a bit. And I mean, we could have, we probably could have had our limit, which would have been like insane for us, but like a duck a piece was awesome. And it was like, hey, we actually did this. And, you know, I'll kind of transition us into the Around Our Campfire segment of our podcast. And I'll just start with kind of my thing, a personal thing of, you know, for years I've been the one that's saying like, yeah, we don't have a flyway here. There just aren't ducks. And, or saying like, you know, making excuses like I don't have a place to hunt. And, you know, now I've kind of taken a step and went, all right, I'm going to do this. And, you know, found public land that I can go set up on. And, you know, and I'm not claiming to know it all. I've killed one duck, called one duck for myself and killed one duck. I mean, I don't know a lot about duck hunting, but I'm doing it. And my advice would be like, if you want to do it, like I've always wanted to duck hunt. but I've just always kind of made the excuse, just step out and do it. And I think that's, that kind of ties in with Fit to Hunt, too. And the fact of like, if you're one to go elk hunt, like don't let your physicality or anything stop you. Like reach out to Jeremy, reach out to the Fit to Hunt team and, you know, start taking the steps to get in shape and go do it because it's possible. Like that, that, you know, it's like Nike saying, just do it. Like really that, that's what I would have to say for my around the campfires, just do it. But so just as we wrap up, Jeremy, what would your kind of around our campfire, you know, last piece of advice, be?
You know, we spend a lot of time talking with people about the concept of discipline. I talk with my kids about it. I talk with people that I work with. You know, a goal is great, but if you don't have some type of a discipline process that you're going to follow and do, you're going to run out of motivation. You're going to make excuses. You're gonna maybe manage your time poorly. So for me, everything that I do in my life is predicated on the fact that I've got to have discipline to do it. Because if you can get good at that, feelings are important, but feelings can tarnish what it is you're after. When you get to a point where you will just go do, regardless of whether you feel great today or not, whether I feel motivated or not, that is a power. That's a superpower. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when we start to see that in the people working with or our crew, right? People that we hang with, our circle, that's good. And you'll feed off those people too. You find people like that, you want to surround yourself with more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a great piece of advice. That's kind of one thing I was going to walk away from this conversation with was the discipline aspect. I think that's a great piece that Fit to Hunt offers is not only the accountability, which is important to being disciplined, but even just having structure and especially, you know, more practically with a workout plan, that's something that we could all use. And I think a lot of people get hung up getting into working out and getting the discipline. Part of their excuse is just, I don't know what to do. I don't have a plan. And that's one of the greatest things that you guys can offer as coaches. Of course, the accountability is important, but just having a plan written down for people to follow is super great. I want to give you one last chance here to sort of plug Fit to Hunt, where people can find you, where they can get connected with you.
Find us on Instagram, find us on YouTube, just search Fit to Hunt. We're going to pop up. Our website is www.stayfittohunt.com. And I would just encourage people, we've got a contact form on there. And it's funny because a lot of folks don't really utilize that. And it's not so much to call and say, hey, how much is this or what that? If you've got questions, and it's such a weird thing. We offer all the time, very few situations where people actually ask a question. And so as a coach, as a business person, I mean, here's the deal. Ask me a question because there's a gajillion trainers out there, okay? You need to kind of shop us, talk with us, follow us, see if our vibe is your vibe. And you typically do business with people that you like, know, and trust. And so we would love more people to follow us and just be part of that community. And then if they choose to want to do something like a DIY or a remote coaching, awesome. We're here for you. And if you don't want to, we're here for you, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, we don't want to hold you up anymore, give you any more reason not to be disciplined tonight. We know you're getting to the gym. Right. So shout out to you for leading by example and putting your money where your mouth is a little bit with working out. I know I can speak for Austin and I. We really enjoy the pleasure of just working with you, supporting you guys. We love following along and seeing everything you guys are doing. Again, we just really believe in the why that you guys have going on with Fit to Hunt, guys, and go check them out for sure. And with that, we will catch you all on the next one. Don't forget, all it takes is just one.
Buzzard Roost Saddles, made right here in the great state of Louisiana, should be on every Louisiana bow hunter's list as a must-have in their hunting arsenal. Buzzard Roost Saddles achieves comfort through adjustability for those long day sets during the rut and also provides the maneuverability to get up and move when you see the need. Buzzard Roost Saddles was created with the need to lighten the Piro as well as the backpack to go deeper than everyone else. Louisiana bow hunters are a mixed bag, and Buzzard Roost Saddles is the tool to fit any job. Whether it's public land, private land, hardwoods, pines, or even the bottomless swamps, Buzzard Roost Saddles has what you need to stay mobile.